Welcome to the Wags of SCI podcast, where we discuss life, love, and caregiving after spinal cord injury, hosted by Elena Pauly and Brooke Paget.
Both of our partners are quadriplegics, and after connecting online in 2017, we began the advocacy and support group Wags of SCI, which is an acronym for Wives and Girlfriends of Spinal Cord Injury.
We know firsthand the challenges that come with living this lifestyle, and our mission is to spread education, awareness, and positivity from our unique perspectives.
Join us each week as we tackle deep discussions around balancing life as a caregiver and a lover to someone with a spinal cord injury.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Wags of SCI podcast. Here we go. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Wags of SCI podcast with your hosts, Elena Pauly and Brooke Paget.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another podcast with us. This episode might be a little triggering for some, but I really think that it's going to be helpful for a lot of Wags of SCI, specifically those who were with their partner at the time of their accident. So we like to call them pre-injury Wags of SCI. So we'll get into that in a second. First, we'd like to send a huge shout out to this episode's sponsors. Without these sponsors, we would not be able to do any of the work that we do. So we are extremely grateful for their support and devotion to the Wags of SCI community and us. First sponsor is Robin Wishart of Wishart Brain and Spine Law. Robin has been with us for 4 years now in the background, helping us with our personal cases, as well as helping the Wags of SCI community with legal expertise and legal advice. So Robin's website is brainandspinelaw.com. She and her team are the official advocates of the Wags of SCI community. So they are available for legal assistance, for help. If you need a letter written, if you need a resource in your area, if you need someone to look into your benefits paperwork, or if you need someone to just talk to about your options, Robin is always there. You can also visit wagsofsci.com and click on the Legal Resources tab for more information about how Robin and her team work with us directly. Our second sponsor is Annalisa Squires and John Squires, the owners of Rolling in Paradise. So Rolling in Paradise is an adaptive equipment company that is VA approved that works all over North America to ensure that their clients have the best in adaptive equipment and equipment. So John is actually a quadriplegic himself, and Annalisa is a quad wife, and we love to support quad wife owned businesses. So next time you are in the market for some sort of adapted equipment for leisure activity, anything from hand cycles to Hoyer lifts, they are there to help you, because who is better than someone in the community that will actually listen to you and understand your needs than someone who actually is in the community, which they are. So a big thank you to Annalisa and John for sponsoring the podcast, and please visit rollinginparadise.com if you would like more information and to support a WAG owned business.
So I guess we should get into the fact that yesterday Brooke and I went out for lunch for our workday Monday, and we got talking. We like to sit down, order some lunch, or have like a coffee and discuss what has happened over the week, maybe some dreams that we've had, some thoughts that have come up. And this topic came up yesterday around our partner's injuries, and what was, you know, the onset of our partner's injuries creates a whole bunch of anxiety and a whole bunch of thoughts, and a lot of them are not true, but they're still sort of lurking in the background, and they sneak their way in the most unexpected times. So yesterday's topic was around, I guess, like karmatic, cosmic intervention, retribution, not intervention, sorry, around why did our partner's injuries happen? And was there something that we did to create this karmatic retribution for why they had their accidents? And even though it is not true, there is, you know, I think it's important to state that of course we didn't have anything to do with it, but intrusive thoughts happen. And I guess this is how it led us down the path of this topic.
Yeah, for sure. And it's so interesting too, because we've been friends for a long time. We've been running the group for a long time. And this topic has actually never come up in this specific way before between the two of us. So it was really interesting because I was talking about it and then Elena's like, oh my God, I went through a phase of that too, where I thought, you know, I had done something wrong and this was the universe punishing me. And yeah, I think, you know, I think anybody who has, this isn't just for people who have a religious background. This is for anybody that understands the law of cosmic cause and effect. You could call it karma if you are, you know, into the spiritual side of things. Yeah, you could also cause it like just a rule of physics where every reaction, there's an equal and opposite reaction in the world. You also, New Age spiritual community, the law of attraction, Abraham Hicks, all of that stuff talks about the power of thought and the power of action and how you create your own reality based on your choices and decisions. And while a lot of that is 100% true, there's a lot of messy stuff. It's not that simple, right? And I know a lot of us have gone through that specifically after trauma, where these thoughts start to come up and your brain tries to make sense of what is happening. And so it's a very, very real phase that a lot of us have gone through. And I think it's really important to talk about this stuff because it just, it's another thing that you have to do to make yourself feel like you're not as alone, is listening to other people's stories. And so if someone were to tell me way back when, oh gosh, I went through that when my partner got injured, like this is just a phase of healing, this is a phase of your brain trying to make sense of it, I would have felt a lot better. But I feel good that you and I both went through very similar trains of thought and kind of had to work through that at the start of our partner's injury. Do you want to get into more details about, you know, you don't need to like name names or anything, but like why you felt the way that you did?
Well, I think that, okay. So I guess our topic began with just past relationships that we've had in general, or, you know, there was a period of time where Dan and I, this is while we were still, of course, like Dan was still able-bodied before his accident, we broke up, and we had been together for 3.5 years before Dan's injury. So I sort of thought about like other relationships that I had with other people, some of the conversations that I've had, maybe some of the things that I've done in my life that I sort of thought, well, maybe if, you know, Dan and I broke up for a period of time there, I almost went down the rabbit hole of maybe we should have stayed broken up, and then I would have never bought him this trip to Cuba, and then he would have never dove in the pool, and then this accident wouldn't have happened, and then we wouldn't be here today. And our brains, I feel like they try to make sense of what you're experiencing by running with it and going wild with it, that, you know, it's like, again, it's not true. Like, this is not even rational. You can't say these things because you're experiencing what you are experiencing today because of that's where you're supposed to be. Like, this is your life. This is the path that you're on, is exactly where you're supposed to be. If one thing was slightly different, you wouldn't be where you are. So to sort of live in that, what if land, so to speak, what if this, what if that, it's, our brain is trying to keep us protected, or it thinks it's trying to protect us. But I think that, you know, reading some of the responses from the women in the community on the private discussion group sort of validated a lot of these thoughts as, oh my God, we're not alone in having them, right, Brooke? Like, when even you brought it up yesterday, I was like, oh my God, you're like, you know, this is really crazy, but like, I was having these thoughts the other day and I was like, oh my God, what? Like, we've been friends for so long and we've never even talked about this before.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and this is like one of the most amazing things about this group and having friends that are WEGs, is like, these things come up when they would not come up and they wouldn't even be relatable in other friendships. So like, it's just another piece of like why we're so grateful for this friendship, but also this group is just having that like commonality where it's like, yo, we've been friends for a long time. This has never come up. This is a really good topic. So like yesterday when we were at lunch, we're like, oh, okay, we talked about it for a while. And then we're like, oh, we should post this on the private group and see if there's even more women out there that have experienced these thoughts and have kind of worked through that. And
I think though,
yeah, in my
Sorry, I was just going to quickly just say, I think, though, we were kind of hesitant about sharing this topic because we're like, we don't know if this is like, is this taboo? Like, should we be talking about this? Is this like, you know what I mean? Like, there was a sense of like discomfort with even bringing it up, I think, too, yeah. Right?
Yeah. And because, well, and here's the thing, because there's so many different belief systems out there. There's so many nuances. There's so many things that people believe that you don't really want to like spark a discussion that could cause offense in a way. Like, that's kind of where I was thinking. Like, I was like, well, this is more about like dealing with the thoughts that come up in the brain versus dealing with why or what you think they're there for. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like more to raise awareness on like, well, we all get these thoughts. You know, this is a common response to trauma. We went through it. We don't really have those thoughts anymore, but we went through it, mm-hmm. right? And just to like provide that kind of shoulder to lean on for women who might be going through that right now, I think it's really important to do that. However, I didn't want to like start a conversation of like what is true and what is not true. That's up to you to decide, right? That's up to you and your guidance system and your compass and your background and all your experiences. You can't tell someone, you know, what to believe or not. But the important thing is to talk about the fact that this happens, right? And regardless of what you believe, you know, it's an opportunity to heal, right? Because this is like, you know, this is something that is extremely common when you're coming out of a trauma. You know, like you said earlier, you try to make sense of it. Your brain tries to make sense of why something like this would happen. And like both you and I are like, we don't think this way anymore because we've worked through that, right? But there might be a lot of women out there that are stuck in this way of thinking. But I think it's important to know that these loops of thoughts are just trying to figure out, try to make sense of what happened. Why is this person so upset about this? Let's figure this out. Let's use our computing skills to figure it out. But it's one of those things that like, it's not that easy. It's not that black and white. You know, you can't really figure something like this out. It's lived experience and working through it that where you get all your answers. Right.
And I think like for you and I, like I'm reading some of these responses and these posts, I think for you and I, it became very apparent very quickly within the first year of beginning WAGS of SCI that there was a lot of meaning behind our partner's injuries, because had Dan and Evan not sustained their injuries in 2014 and 2016, we would have never met. We would have never began WAGS of SCI. And I think sometimes we forget how much of an overwhelming support and presence we do have in the community, because we read these emails daily. We read these private messages daily. You can head over to the WAGS of SCI private discussion group and you can read the activity that is flowing through the page. You just scroll and scroll and you see how much of an impact that, you know, had their injuries not happened, these resources and this connection would have never been there in place for women who truly need it. And you know, even reading this specific post, you know, I'm reading women who have been doing this for 40 years, for 50 years, for 30 years without any support before WAGS of SCI. So I feel like that is a tremendous impact and something that is extremely humbling to both Brooke and I for leading this community.
Yeah, for sure. And so let's just kind of like think about it in, you know, the basic, most basic of forms. I'm sure regardless of what religion we are, what ideologies we believe in, what our education has told us, what our childhood has told us, what we personally believe. I mean, let's exclude nihilists from this discussion because they just think that humans are here and there's no real purpose to all of it. You're just kind of banging around on Earth. You're just here. There's no real purpose or meaning. Let's just take that out of the equation. I'm sure all of us, religious or not, who have any sort of understanding about our world around us can agree that we are here to have experiences and to learn and grow. Like, would you say that's correct, Elena?
Yeah, of course.
So I know nihilists don't believe that, but let's just say, you know, all of us have the commonality and we all believe that we're here to learn and grow on Earth. We're here to learn something. We're here to experience something. So that in itself, I think that, you know, we've been really open and honest about this in past episodes, is one of the reasons why you and I became such good friends is because we both decided very early on in the injury that we weren't going to let those thoughts of what could have been, what should have been, who caused this, what karmic retribution caused this, you know, was God angry at us? We decided to put those thoughts aside and work through them, of course, mm-hmm. but kind of we decided that we wanted to grow and learn from this injury. And I don't know about you, but very early on in my partner's accident, I was like, there is a reason that I am here right now. And I have a strong desire to learn from this. I have a strong desire to see what happens. I have a strong desire to stay with my partner and be beside him and see how I can grow. And I look back at all of those experiences and like I wouldn't have had it any other way. I would not be the person that I am today without those experiences. I would not have the level of knowledge I have of the world around me and of myself if that injury hadn't happened to him. And I'm sure he would say the same thing. And he does say the same thing. So it's a very conscious choice though. And that being said, there's a lot of women in this community that are still in the phase of, I don't understand why this happened to us. This is a horrible experience and I am suffering. And I think we need to acknowledge that because you don't get to the place that I am personally at right now, or that my partner is at, or that Elena, you're at right now. You don't get to those places where you accept it as a learning experience and grow from it until you go through the phases of, I am suffering. This is horrible. I can't believe this happened. And what did we do to deserve this? Right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's nothing that anybody can do to change. I think that also when you look over like the course of a timeline of like this, you know, the timeline of your life, and you're like, okay, you know, in my from 0 to 10 years old, from 10 to 20, 20 to 30, there is always like this one big impact or two or three that happened within that period of time. And this is just, it's really positive seeing it come out on the bright side. We've learned so much about SCI, but we've also been able to share the knowledge that we've learned with people that not necessarily would have had access to the resources. For example, all the sexual health, the free information there, a lot of information around holistic healing, alternative medicine. These are topics that are still pretty fresh in the SCI world that we're very grateful to be able to share those.
For sure. You know what else I find really interesting about like our journeys and our experiences is both of us had breakups with our partners. You know, whether it was once or twice or like, you know, we had experiences where before our partner's injuries, we had broken up and then got back together. And, you know, for us, we had broken up for a couple of months and then we got back together a few months before his accident. And just kind of like seeing how that all interplays. And yeah, there's no doubt that the brain would say, well, is it because of you that this accident happened? Right? There's no doubt. Like it's a meaning-making machine. That's what it does. You know, we've trained our brains this way. We can't blame it for trying to make sense out of the situation. We've trained it to try and make sense out of situations, right? It's stepping back and being able to say, okay, do I want to give in to what it's saying to me? Or do I want to step back and get that awareness and that distance from what my brain is saying and understand that what the brain says is not always correct? In fact, I would argue that 95% of the time it's not correct at all. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's really important to state. It's like, no wonder a lot of us go there because that's very, very natural. It's we've trained it that way. So giving it, like you said earlier, giving it props for trying to protect us. And a lot of the time it's easier for the brain to protect us by shaming us and making us feel bad for things that aren't even real in order for us to move away from the hot coals, right? The brain does not want a human to venture into the unknown, mm-hmm. right? That is like where the heart thrives, right? That is not where the brain thrives. The brain thrives in the consistent, known, programmed state, and it doesn't want to go anywhere else. And so that's one thing that this SCI journey has really helped me with is being uncomfortable in the unknown. Because once you start venturing there, it's very hard to get there because, you know, brains don't want to go there. So like, of course, you know, this stage of suffering, you have to go through it in order to see that, right? You have to go through that in order to see, okay, this is not the truth. This is not even making sense. Like, this is just a bunch of thoughts coming together to try and protect me. And bless you. bless my brain for trying to help me. Bless my body for trying to help me. But this is not where I want to go. And I don't think people quite realize their power in that sense, that they have a choice to say, I'm going to run along with this, or I'm going to be anxious and afraid and medicated, and I'm going to be completely powerless as to my state. So I think that's another thing that WEGS of SCI strives to help with, is like, you know, getting women on board with radical responsibility for their own thoughts, feelings, emotions, reality, right? I think that's the only way you can move forward on these things. Do you remember like a time where you were actually believing these things for a long period of time, or did you feel like you moved through them quite quickly once you decided that you didn't really want to go there?
I think, well, here's the other thing. The other piece to this topic is that Dan, his perspective, because him and I talked about this very openly a few times, I think like the first like year was like, holy crap, why is this happening? And something that I've continuously, like the reoccurring theme around his reasoning behind why this happened still continues. Actually, it was brought up the other day when we were out for dinner with Joy and Bert on Friday, another couple from our community. But both him and Bert said something similar. And that was, you know, we've done a lot of quote unquote stupid shit in our time, as in like risk taking, you know, driving erratically, doing, you know, very extroverted, very high risk sports, participating in, you know, that kind of like the boys stuff, you know, when you're like wrestling with the guys, when you're, you know, early 20s, teenager, just doing really risky things, and how they both walked out unscathed multiple times from doing these very risky things, that it was sort of like this event occurred, and then it was like that was the last thing to put them in this position in a wheelchair. So I thought that was kind of interesting, because we have talked about this openly so many times, being like, do you, like, is this just like a crazy thought? Like, do you think that like there is such a thing as like karmic retribution? Like, I was like, Dan is such a good person. He's never done anything. He's the last person to hurt somebody. Like, he would never go out of his way to hurt somebody. He's always trying to help people. He's always trying to show people a different way, like whether it's, you know, advice for like medical equipment or supplies, or like sharing his knowledge, sharing his love for like trying to assist everybody. You know, he works in long-term care facility right now. He's gonna be a rec therapist. Like, he's in the people helping business, so to speak. So for us, it was like, there is no way, there's nothing that he did to deserve this. There's no such thing as like deserve. But also, I think you have to look at it from a lens of, why does society think that being in a wheelchair, having a spinal cord injury, is a quote unquote negative thing, right? You know, I was talking about this to my 73-year-old neighbor yesterday when she came over and sat on the patio, shared a cider, and we were talking about this. And, you know, her son was also in a wheelchair for a period of time as well, until his passing, sadly. But same thing, it's like people, you know, able-bodied people in society look at somebody in a wheelchair and they think this is the worst thing ever, where in reality, it's like the wheelchair is, it's the embodiment of independence. Without the wheelchair, you wouldn't be able to continue having a quality of life, or leave your home, or move from place to place, or do activities, or meet family and friends for lunches or dinners. You know, the wheelchair itself is a symbol of independence, but it's all the secondary conditions that come along with spinal cord injury that make it really, really tough. And those are things people don't even know about. Like, the regular public does not know about typical secondary conditions of somebody with a spinal cord injury. So it's just very interesting the lens at which we see spinal cord injury and being quote unquote wheelchair bound or a wheelchair user, what that looks like, that people get this idea around what that means.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And do you, so would you say that you know, for women that are struggling right now with getting through these thoughts or trying not to blame themselves, or, you know, even if they had done something that they think is not favorable and this is karma coming to get them, what would you say your belief system is now as to, like, after your experiences, what do you actually believe now? Like, what is your understanding of why this happened?
From my personal perspective and, like, my personal frame of reference, which, again, this is not necessarily across the board for all individuals listening to this podcast, but I feel like it was a chance to rebuild, to start over again, to recreate a quality of life again. It's a chance to look at your life and say, maybe this is not the path that I should be on, in terms of, like, from housing to career to group of friends to, I mean, spinal cord injury really affects all aspects of your life from all angles, right? It's multifaceted in terms of, you have to rebuild everything that you've ever known. And it gives you that opportunity. And, you know, it is very challenging for different periods of time, and it comes in waves. Some days are better than others, but it definitely gives you that chance to start over again, I think. How about you? What do you think about that?
I think that it's a lot more complicated than humans will ever understand as to why these things happen. I think there's a lot of different beliefs and reasons and spiritual reasons for things happening and soul evolution reasons. And, you know, I won't get into, like, everything that I think, because I think that would be another podcast. But I think, like, from, you know, going back to what we were saying earlier, the things we can agree on, that we are here on this planet to experience things and to learn, almost like a school, right? I have, in my experience, I feel that without a shadow of a doubt, there's no question in my mind that everything that happens here to you on Earth is for your benefit and for your growth. As horrible as things can get sometimes, as many injustices as there are in the world, as many illnesses and tragic things that happen to kids and all the awful things in the world, I feel like there's a reasons for them that we will never really understand until we're dead, until we meet our creator, until whatever happens in the death experience where we can understand these things finally. But I feel like everything is working according to how they're supposed to work. You know, like what you were saying earlier, I know that in my heart, and that while we may not understand them, it is our responsibility to look at everything as a learning experience and to grow from it. And to realize that everything that is placed in front of us or that we have to go through is there for us to learn and grow and become better. Even if it looks absolutely terrible, which at the start of this injury for, you know, a long time, I viewed it as a terrible thing. But I slowly realized that it's not so terrible. It is harder. It is physically harder because our world is not set up to accommodate the needs of disabled people or their caregivers. So it is harder, but who said life would not be hard? Like, I don't remember anybody that I've ever known or anything that I've ever learned that says that life would be easy. I don't know of anybody that haven't had challenges being presented to them all the time. I don't think life is supposed to be easy. I think life is about how you adapt to the challenges that you've been given and your mindset along the way and who you let guide you, and your connection, you know, to whatever is guiding you. If you're religious, if you're, you know, more spirit focused, that's what life is about. And that's what this injury has really taught me and shown me in real life experience. So that's like what I believe. I believe that this injury, like, if you want to get really specific, I believe this injury happened to my partner because he had a lot of different things that he needed to express in his life that he wasn't expressing in his current role. Very similar to what you think is a chance for a new beginning, for sure. And I think this happened because he needed to develop other aspects of his being. And the only way that he would be able to do that is by kind of sweeping the rug from underneath him in a crazy way. And he says this too. He 100% agrees with this, where he's like, I was on a path where I was not focusing on my emotional side. I was not focusing on my spiritual side. I was focusing on my physical side only. And it really didn't align with me. And I remember him saying to me, you know, his job, his life, he's like, I don't know how much longer I can do this, because it wasn't in alignment. And so in my perspective, the universe swept in and said, okay, time for something new, time for you to develop other aspects of yourself that you wouldn't have developed in such a rapid way before this happened.
Yeah, I think so. Well, and I think also too, like the first like few months of like your injury, you spent so much time in silence, just thinking for both individuals, right? For women like us who spend so much time with our partners in rehab, running back and forth between rehab to home to, you know, meal prepping, bringing better food to the hospitals and rehab centers while our partners were there, but also like in isolation of like those moments that you go home and you think about this new role truly you are thrown into it. Everything changes about everything. You lose your jobs. You might lose your home. You might need to remodel. You might need to relocate. That's a big one too. And then in that displacement, you have a lot of options to either sink or swim. And you might sink a little bit and you might swim a little bit. And then you might take 5 steps forward and 10 steps back. That's just the way it goes, right? And then it's at the very end. I don't think that there is an actual completion process. There's no finish line. It's a daily, conscious effort to do better, to think better, to work harder, to be challenged, to realize that life is not perfect. There is no such thing as perfection, and certainly not in this injury, an injury that they still don't know a whole lot about. That truly being present and really being present with whatever the challenges are in the moment, to be able to know that you will be okay at the end of it. You will be fine. And so will your partner, and you just keep pushing forward.
For sure. I happen to really think that one of the biggest, most like mass, large scale delusions of the Western world that so many of us participate in is that life, there's a easy road at the end of this, that there's a life without challenges. There's a life of ease waiting for you at some point. I mean, this is what capitalism and consumerism takes advantage of, right? This mass delusion that people think that their life is going to be better after they achieve this, or if they focus on this, or if they get rid of this, or if they buy this, or if they, you know, soothe themselves this way. This is mass delusion. This is not life, right? This is, as soon as you can get to the point where you understand that, not in an apathetic way where you're just like, well, there's nothing I can do. This is life. This is it. No. Like when you realize that like you're in charge, the universe is in charge, things get put before you to deal with based on what everybody else in the world is doing at any time. Like you were talking about earlier, everything happens perfectly to get you to the position you're in. This is one of the fundamental things that I just know that nihilism is very wrong in, is that there are billions of people in the world doing things every day, going about their lives. And if one thing were to be different, everything would change for you in an instant, right? And so that's why it's so easy to like look back on that. And I know we've discussed this in the past in some podcasts where you can like look back at all of these circumstances and everything would have had to be exactly the way that it is in order for things to happen the way that they did. And so you really can't look back, and you can literally reason your way, logic and reason your way out of thinking that way and having these thoughts of like, oh, did I cause this? Because there's too many pieces that would have had to be different that don't even involve you. Like, and you could go back, you know, thousands and thousands of years, things would have had to be different in order for things not to turn out how they did. So like, I feel like that's how I kind of got myself out at the beginning, got myself out of that thinking, is just realizing that, wow, things would have had to be so different in so many different ways in order for this to not happen mm-hmm. the way that it did. As you really start to realize how small you are, and you really start to realize how big and intertwined the world is, and how these little choices and decisions on behalf of everybody add up to a whole, and how it's all working perfectly, kind of perfectly, right? I mean, that's a bigger topic for another podcast, but I think what's important to realize is we are all here to talk about these experiences together so that we can gain understanding and we can work through, not bypass, but work through what we're going through in order to see something on the other side. And we all have goals, dreams, and beliefs. But as soon as you realize that, like, this world is not perfect and everyone has their own problems, and to just accept these as learning things and teachers, that's when you really truly start to heal and work through these kind of weird thoughts that come up, as you realize, okay, no, this isn't for me today. But yeah, like, I'm really glad we had that conversation at lunch yesterday. I feel like it really got both of us thinking. And I know that there's a lot of women on the private group that really responded to this, and it got their juices flowing and the conversation going. And if anybody who's listening wants to join us on the private group, I know we talk about it a lot. It's one of those places that you can get so much information, but also get so much off your chest and find commonality in your sisters that are going through this or have been going through this in the past. And so we invite you to come and join us. Or you can email us anytime if you don't have Facebook or you don't want to join Facebook for the group, you can email us anytime, wagsofsci@gmail.com. So in order to wrap up this discussion, if you had any advice for a woman who is going through this right now, who can't seem to get out of her own head, what would you tell her?
Man, I mean, I am no expert in giving advice in this area, but I think just be kind to yourself and don't resist the thoughts that are coming to your head. I think that sometimes, I mean, there's a difference between, you know, we all have intrusive thoughts. We all have thoughts that we're like, ooh, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to think about that. I can't think about it. It's too much. I don't want to spiral. I don't want to become depressed. I don't want to have anxiety if I sit in the thoughts. But just let it pass through you. You know, I've learned over the years that suppressing thoughts does the absolute opposite of what we think it's going to do. I've learned over the years the hard way that anytime I've ever been like, ooh, too scary, I can't look, don't want to look, nope, too much, that the thought will usually reappear in the most like inconvenient time, in the most like the worst time, where I've had anxiety bubble over, because it's just like being able to bring yourself back to the ground is it can be hard, but you have to be like, no, this is not happening. It's fine. You're going to be okay. You can do this. You got this. It's going to be okay. You almost have to start being really, really kind to yourself. You almost have to like baby yourself, just to let yourself know, like, be really gentle and just be like, it's going to be fine. But also look at those thoughts and be like, well, that was interesting. Thanks, brain. Thank you, brain, for leading me down this path of all these thoughts, and just have a look at them and sit with them and just let it pass through you. I think that would be my advice. What do you think? I mean, you and I talk about this all the time, and we always give each other advice on these things, because it's always nice to have an outside opinion or somebody else's perspective, or being like, okay, that's interesting, but what is your perspective on that? What advice would you give to, let's say, a new WAG of SEI going through this?
I am very, very similar to you, where it's like the sooner you can get to a place of non-judgment for yourself and the more knowledge that you can bring to this subject, the better. I think one of the things that I regret is not informing myself about what's going on in my brain after trauma as soon as I should have. There's a lot of stuff that you can read about how the brain processes trauma, what happens with PTSD, how you're adjusting to a new life experience, and how, you know, things were different and now they're completely new and you have no idea what's going on. The there are a lot of books that you can read about processing that kind of stuff to prepare you for what you're going to go through. And I think knowledge is power, and learning what is happening in your brain and body during a traumatic experience is very, very important, because you don't want to be led down the rabbit hole of like I'm guilty of like not really knowing what was going on and having to learn by doing, which I think that was my experience and my journey. But I think that if you inform yourself with knowledge from people that you respect, and you go online and you look up books on how to heal and deal with the brain when it's going through trauma, and informing yourself on what happens, it's so valuable, because then you feel like, oh, this, I'm not going crazy, right? Oh, there's nothing wrong with me. Because like you said, we have a tendency of being very hard on ourselves, especially as women. We beat up on ourselves a lot, right? But there are physiological things happening in your brain and body that you need to be informed on, from breathing issues to heart palpitations to anxiety to panic attacks. All of those things can be understood at a deeper level than what a traditional doctor would try and tell you is going on. So there's a lot of psychological aspects to it. So I would say really arm yourself with some knowledge, and don't let these things take you over. Even though it's important to process things, don't let yourself get taken over by thoughts when you know that you can understand them better. There's a really good book. It's called The Wisdom of Anxiety. And I'm just going to look up who the author is, because I forget. Cheryl Paul. It's called The Wisdom of Anxiety, How Worry and Intrusive Thoughts Are Gifts to Help You Heal. And so you were speaking, a little with your little piece of advice to others about having compassion for yourself and treating yourself like in a very compassionate way. This book really teaches you how to be the head of your own table. She talks about exercises on how to be the head of your own table and how to really reparent and guide yourself when these thoughts come up. It's literally how to treat your thoughts and that scared part of you like a little child, and how you would not yell and scream at a little 1 or 2 year old that is going through something traumatic. You would hold them, provide space for them, not judge them. So she teaches you in this book how to take those experiences and really reparent yourself in a way where there's no judgment on your end, because that is someplace that I really suffered as well. Is I would always be very hard on myself when going through these periods of intrusive thoughts and trying to heal from them. So yeah, it's called Wisdom of Anxiety by Cheryl Paul. I would highly recommend that if you want to understand what is happening when you have these panic attacks or these anxious thoughts, and how to work through it in a very compassionate way, because you want to make sure that you get the basics right and inform yourself as to what is going on before you, because it's easy to judge yourself if you don't know what's going on. You think there's something wrong with you, right? There isn't. There's nothing wrong with you.
The human mind.
Yeah.
Awesome. So again, thank you to everybody who chimed in on this topic. We know it was a bit of a sensitive topic. We even had hesitations about sharing some of the crazy thoughts and topics Brooke and I discuss on the daily, but we are so grateful to be able to host this space and this podcast. So for everybody tuning in today, thank you again for sharing your time and your energy with us. And until next time, take care of yourselves and love one another.
Cheers.